Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So today's class is preparing for the high holidays. The question is, what do we mean by high holidays?
High holy days.
High holy days. What do we mean?
The most important, except for Shabbos.
They were just muting their phone so that they can listen better. So your answer is that any day is a high holy day, because unless it's called Shabbos. But we have a lot of holidays in Tishrei. We have, generally speaking, one holiday in every month. There are some months that we don't have holidays. In Passover, in Nisan, we have Pesach. And in Taurus, or the month of the Iyar, we have Pesach Sheni. But you also have Lag BaOmer. And they're related to the same type of energy of the holiday. But as you go through each month, Sivan, you have Shavuot. In Tammuz, you don't have a holiday, but you have a fast day on the 17th of Tammuz. And in Av, you have Tisha B'Av. And in Elul, you don't have a holiday, but the Kabbalists celebrate the creation of the universe, of the 25th of Elul is the first day of creation, Yom Echad, Sunday. And if you then count the 6 days of creation, what is the sixth day from the 25th day? 25th is the first day. 26th is the second day. 27th of Elul is the third day. 28th of Elul is the fourth day. 29th of Elul is the fifth day. The sixth day is the 30th of Elul. What happened on the sixth day of creation? That day the Torah says it's not Yom, it's not day, it's the day. Hayom. On the sixth day of creation, Adam and Eve are created. When is Rosh Hashanah?
The Jewish New Year.
It's the Jewish New Year, but it's the seventh month.
Oh.
How can it be this New Year if it's the seventh month? The New Year is in Nisan. It's Passover, but Passover isn't until the 15th of the month. All of these questions that I'm asking are helping us understand the various energies of creation. We have in the month of Tishrei, well, not just one holiday, we have Rosh Hashanah. We have 10 days.
Elul or Tishrei?
We're in Elul.
Oh.
But the 30th of Elul was the day that Adam and Eve were created. But in the evening, on the 30th of Elul, it became Shabbat. That was the time when Adam was judged, when Hashem said the curses for the sin. On the sixth day of creation, on his day of birth, the sin took place. But in the month of Tishrei, we have Rosh Hashanah. We have 10 days of Teshuvah, of repentance. We have Yom Kippur. A few days later, we have Sukkot. The last day of Sukkot, the seventh day of Sukkot, is called Hoshana Rabbah. Then you have Shmini Atzeret. Then you have Simchat Torah. You have 23 days. In Israel, Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret are the same day. So in Israel, there's only 22 days. But what does 22 tell you? What does the number 22 connect to? The number of letters of the alphabet. But the number of letters of the alphabet is not just letters. They're energy sources, metaphysical energy sources. The 22 days of Tishrei are all holidays. They're all connected to these energy sources. They're all unified. In Cheshvan, we don't have a holiday. It's the second month we don't have a holiday. But just like in Tammuz, we have a fast day. In Cheshvan, we have the flood. The flood started on the 17th day of Cheshvan. Then we have Kislev and Hanukkah. Then we have Tevet, which is still the end of Hanukkah. I don't know if you heard that, the end of Hanukkah. Then Shabbat, there's no holiday. But tradition says that's going to be the manifestation of Mashiach. Every month has a holiday. Or, in other words, a high energy day. Shabbat is a high energy day, correct? It's special. The holidays are special. But why are we having 22 days or 23 days of holidays in Tishrei? And if we don't understand that, the answer to that question, we can't really elevate properly. The month of Tishrei is the month of Libra, the month of Moshnaim, scales, balancing, judgment. But we say Elul is the month of judgment, right? But Elul is not truly a month of judgment. It's a month where people judge themselves, which is what Teshuvah is all about. Returning the lower hay to Hashem's name. But Tishrei is the month of balance, the month of judgment, which is a form of balance. To understand the month of Tishrei, we need to understand something called the Tree of Life. What's the Tree of Life? We know Adam ate from the Tree of Knowledge, good and evil. What is the Tree of Life? In the center of the garden, God planted a tree. But we have the names of two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How can you have in the center of the garden two trees. Can't, if they're next to each other, one of them is not in the center. Those 22 days are high energy days. Every year on Rosh Hashanah, we are judged. We all are told that every human being, not just Jewish people, every human being is judged. But the Jewish people blow the shofar. They eat certain special foods. Why are these rituals prescribed for this day of judgment, which we're told is one long day, meaning there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but it's not. There's only one long day. What does that mean? The sun goes up, the sun goes down, the sun goes up, the sun goes down. Those are 2 days. But the Talmud tells us it's one long day. We have to understand what happens on the 30th day of Elul. Adam has created. The two of them eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And God says, if you eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, you will surely die. Was God lying? Nobody's going to accept that God lies. So what does it mean? Well, the people say, he didn't mean immediately. He had another 930 years. Or did he die? And the sages come and tell us, when we are given the energy for the year, life for the year, it's written in the book of life, you're going to live the year. The book of the other book, or the middle book. Maybe you're going to live in the year, maybe you're going to pass during the year, God forbid. But ultimately, there's no discussion of the next year, right? What the sages tell us, that every one of us, during the night, Erev Yom Rosh Hashanah, the night of the 30th of Elul, which is the first of Tishrei, because the day we count from the night, it starts at when the sun goes down. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we all run out of energy. Because we're only given the energy on Rosh Hashanah for that year. We hope during Rosh Hashanah we're going to be given enough energy for the next year. But in reality, we're only given enough energy for 10 days. When we run out of energy on Erev Rosh Hashanah, literally, we die. We're out of energy. We're dead. But we don't feel dead because we live in the world of illusion. We're dead. Doesn't mean we will stay dead. But when we run out of energy, we're dead. But we don't feel it. We're sleeping. We don't feel it if we stay up all night that night, as some do. We are dead, but we're still feeling alive. That's the world of illusion. When someone dies, do they really die?
Body, yes.
Your body dies, but the soul doesn't. So we can understand this idea of the illusion. But what is the purpose of those 22 days? There are three components to those 22 days. There's 10 days of Teshuvah, the first 10 days. Then there's the second 10 days. Then there is 2 days. Those three components represent the three columns of the Tree of Life. What is the Torah? It's a tree of life to those who hold on to it. Everybody dies at the end of each year, and everybody is given the energy to go through the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah. But on that first day, God is writing, what's going to happen to you, each human being, in that period, in that next year? And each year stands on its own. Yes, it has history. What does it mean that it has history? There was a year before it. There's a year that we're in. And then there's a future year. But there's no future year till you experience what you are to experience in this current year. Right now, there's only 2 weeks left until we all die. And what are we supposed to be doing? Teshuvah. Correcting all the mistakes we made this year so that we will be written in the book of life. If we are a sinful person, are we going to get all of the energy? Last year on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem gave us a certain amount of energy. It was to last the whole year. But we did actions with that energy that are harmful. If we hurt other people, we didn't do things that would have helped other people. Whatever we have done, some of them for the good, some of them for the not. That energy that went to the not, why should God give us that same amount of energy for this coming year? But if I do Teshuvah, then the energy I got last year is now redeemed. It's now he has chosen to evaluate us as totally pure. And so he will give us the whole energy for the year. He doesn't give energy for the next year. He just gives us the energy for this year. And I don't mean to stress that we die, but to understand the tree of life, we have to understand the tree of death, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Death is not all evil, is it? What in our generation are we talking about mercy killings from time to time, God forbid? People are in pain. People don't want to live anymore. They make a choice. Is that bad? Is it good? What does it mean, tree of knowledge, good and evil? Now, the tree of life has three columns. The right column is sharing. Why is it sharing? Because the nature of Hashem is to share. He created us so that we would receive what he wants to share with us. Now, we're now all dead. We have to be reborn. We have to be rebuilt. We have to build our desire to receive what Hashem has to share with us. That is the 10 days of repentance. That is the first 10 days. We are building our desires. What do you want the year to be? I didn't complete the teshuvah. God didn't give me all the energy that he did the year before. Let me keep up the teshuvah. Maybe he will change his mind. Isn't that what we're saying in those 10 days? In those 10 days, you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and you have Yom Kippur. Those three of the 10 days, 7 days are left, which means that in those 7 days, you will be living all 7 days of creation. Why? Because they are the 7 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They don't come always in the same order. Because sometimes Rosh Hashanah starts on Shabbat. Sometimes it starts on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. So the order that we receive those 7 days is different than creation. But we always build our desire. But the right column is sharing, right? The left column is desire to receive. What are we doing? We died. We have to rebuild the vessel. We have to rebuild the desire. The actions that we do in those 7 days, they are the first Monday in the year. It is the first Tuesday in the year. It's the first Sunday in the year. We are building our desire to receive by the actions that we do on those days. At the end of the 7 days, we have the completion of what Adam was. We have rebuilt our desire. We were created as a desire to receive. Our soul is a desire to receive. It has lack. It wants. And in those 7 days, it is about what we want. What do we want the year to be? How do we want to face the year? Do we want to do exactly the same thing we did last year? Then why should Hashem give us the same energy? We want energy. But what does it mean to want energy? I want to see my children grow up. I want to see my soulmate come into my life. I want to see a football game. I want to see a good meal. I want to see whatever I want to see. the best thing to do is to do more Torah study in those 7 days. Because Torah study is the word of God. Torah study is getting connected more strongly to God. At the end of those 7 days, we have Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is a very special holiday. It's called the Shabbat of Shabbats, Shabbat Shabbaton. Why? We fast 25 hours. It's the only day we fast 25 hours. And as we age, we don't fast. But the purpose of the fasting, the purpose of the five afflictions, is not to afflict our soul to be sad, but to be happy that we are getting closer to God, that we have rebuilt our desires to receive, that we have been doing what Hashem wants us to do. Yom Kippur is the culmination. We have five prayers, five Amidas on Yom Kippur, the last one being Ni'ilah. Yom Kippur is the day that we complete the rebuilding of our vessel, of our desires to receive. So we have 10 days that Hashem is sharing with us what he wants us to do, what he wants us to be. We have 10 days of receiving and building our vessel. Because we died, now we are whole again on Yom Kippur. We are totally pure on Yom Kippur. Whether you did Teshuvah, you didn't do Teshuvah, you are pure. There's no more negativity in you, unless, God forbid, you did some negative things in those 7 days. And that's what we need to guard about in those 7 days, not to be upset, not to be sad, to get closer to God. And if that's what we're striving to do, on Yom Kippur, we become purified, totally purified. We are angels on Yom Kippur. That's why people wear white. The left column has been built in those first 10 days of Tishrei. The desire to receive has been built and completed in those first 10 days of Yom Kippur. That's why every Yom Kippur you feel exhilarated. We feel drained because we didn't eat. But as soon as you touch the food of the breakfast, you start becoming and realizing the energy that you've received. You feel enlivened. Sometimes because we don't feel that, we think we didn't do it right. But we always do it right. Because Hashem makes sure we do it right. That's the purpose of blowing the shofar, to wake up the soul, to stop us from doing what we did last year. We now have 10 days of the right column, of the sharing column. What do we do? for 3 or 4 days, we build a sukkah, right? And then what do? We live in that sukkah for 7 days. 3 days and 7 days is 10 days. These are the 10 days of sharing. What are we sharing with? Who are we sharing with? What, when you build the sukkah and you live in, and you start Sukkot, what are we told to do? Move out of our house and move into the sukkah. Now, this is something that's really hard for a lot of people to understand. I said it to you the other day. I don't like apple pie. And my mother is a wonderful woman, but the worst cook in the world. I was 22 years old before I had meat that was not burnt. My mother bakes an apple pie. I don't like apple pie. Am I going to say to my mother, no, thank you? My mother, in her age, baked the apple pie because she thinks I like it. She wants to do something for me. So what is she doing? So she's baked this apple pie. She presents it to me. And I'm going to say, sure, Mom, I'm going to enjoy it. What am I really saying? I am sharing with my mother by eating the apple pie. I'm receiving in order to share. It's hard to understand. How is receiving in order to share? Another way of understanding it. There's a man approaches you on the street, and he's homeless, and he's begging. He asks for a dollar. I say, sure, here's a dollar. And he says, no, I don't want your dollar. You didn't say it nicely. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me, not in those words, but in the, I'm rushing around, I don't want to take time to give the man anything. So I almost throw him a coin. And he says, no, I have to stop and look and think, what's he really saying to me? I beg him, take the money. I'm sorry?
You didn't give him enough.
I didn't give him enough. Take the money. He says, no, I don't want your money. You're not a good person. All of a sudden, he's the one who's judging me, not me judging him that I'm better than him. It upsets me. Doesn't happen often, but it does happen from time to time with different people. It's a wake-up call to the person giving the money. This is a human being who is in lack. And you're in this world to help him. So when you help him, do it with finesse. Do it with pleasure. Do it with goodness. Finally, he relents. Just because you ask me, I'll take your money. Is he receiving the money? Yes. But is he sharing with me because he's taking my money? The answer is yes. This is the desire to receive in order to share. This is why we go and live in the sutra. We just eat in the sutra. But if we, I've been in periods of my life where I lived in the sukkah for 7 days. It wasn't in New York where you had cold weather. It was in Los Angeles where it was comfortable. But still, I left my comfort zone, my house, and I lived in the sukkah. I built the sukkah as a temporary structure. Why? Because Hashem told me to. He told me about the holiday of Sukkot, and he told me to build a temporary structure. I go into the sukkah to demonstrate to Hashem, I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to make this work. I don't have to have money and a framework of security. I know for this week, you're going to take care of it. Every year, I have the opportunity to learn to share with Hashem by allowing him to take care of me in the temporary sukkah, to make sure that there's a sky over my head, a roof over my head. I built it with the sukkot, with the schach, with the leaves on top. I built it so that I could see the sky, so I could see Hashem. I'm living in the sukkah. I'm eating in the sukkah. I'm sharing with Hashem, building certainty in Hashem, in my desire to be closer to Hashem. That's why I do it. I don't do it every minute of every day as I'd like to, but I do it from time to time. That fleeting thought comes to me. You're living in the sukkah. You're doing what Hashem wants you to do. You're allowing Hashem to share with you. You're not providing anything. Oh, sure, you paid for the food. You paid for the materials of the sukkah. But it's Hashem who provided all of that. It's not me who did it. It's Hashem who does it. For those 10 days, the first 3 days of preparing the sukkah and the living in the sukkah, the eating in the sukkah, those 7 days, those 10 days, I take my angelic being of my desire to be close to God, of my desire to do what Hashem wants me to do, and I allow Hashem to take care of me, to nurse me like a mother nurses a baby. The energy of Sukkot is chesed. What does the Jewish world do in Sukkot? Every day we hear the Torah. And when we hear the Torah, we hear about the sacrifice on the first day of 13 bulls, and on the second day, 12 bulls, and on the third day, 11 bulls. Until the seventh day is 7 bulls. And if I add up 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7, it totals 70 bulls. What does the number 70 relate to you? It relates to the 70 nations. It's only in Sukkot that I can let Hashem receive, share with me, and that I can share with him by allowing myself to receive it. And what I receive, I share with the other nations. that sharing during Sukkot is the cause of reducing anti-Semitism. Because when I share during Sukkot to the other nations, we all are doing what we are capable of, drawing the energy of Chesed and sharing with the other nations. The Jewish job is to draw that energy. The Sukkah is an antenna to draw that energy. The four species, the Lulav and Etrog, is an antenna to utilize that energy to share with the other nations. And then what comes? A year without anti-Semitism. If every Jew would live in a sukkah for 7 days, there would be no anti-Semitism because we would be doing the work of the Jewish nation. The other nations take the energy we share with them and they spread it around the world. We are in exile, which means we live in the other nations. We live among the other nations. Yes, we are getting back to our roots. We are getting back to the land of Israel. But until the Mashiach comes, it's not complete. We are still in exile. Even in living in the land of Israel, it's living in exile. And living in exile is very significant because we live and it makes it easier for us to share the energy that we can draw. That's why the sukkahs are built all over the world and not just in Israel. They're built wherever a Jew lives. So we have gone through these 20 days. We have 10 days of building our vessel, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. We have 10 days of sharing of Sukkot with the other nations. And then we have two more holidays. What are the two holidays? Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. Or in Israel, the one day, they're both the same day. What is the third day, that one day? It is the central column, the balance point between sharing and receiving. When we go around in circles on Simchat Torah, when we call for rain on Shmini Atzeret, when we have the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret, it's not, the other nations aren't there. We don't sacrifice for the other nations that day. We are building the vessel of balance. We're doing it in the month of Tishrei, which is the month of balance. We're doing it on the 22nd day. What is the 22nd? What is the number 2? It's all of the vessels. Because any word needs to be spelled with the Hebrew letters. Every word is a creation. Not just the word itself is the creation, but the thing that the word represents is the creation. This is the third column. The balance point. The high holidays are these 22 days, these high holy days, is creating the energy of our year. On Rosh Hashanah, it is written. On Yom Kippur, it is sealed. On Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, it's given to the angels to implement. Any time in those days, we can change the decree. Any time we become pure, the decree is changed to be a good year. But what happens? As soon as the holidays are over, we revert to what we did last year. What do? We hurt people. We didn't care about people. We are focused on our desire to receive for oneself alone. We need to be focused on that in the 10 days to build a vessel, just like a baby. Can you teach a baby to share when it's a baby, when it's just been born? It's hungry. It's dirty. It's crying. It's unhappy. It left this wonderful, beautiful world called heaven and came into this world of the body, which is limited. Of course it's unhappy. I can't share with them. I can't teach it to share. But over the course of those 22 days, I can teach it to share, teach ourselves to share, and reach this point of balance where what I receive, I'm willing to share. You have a teapot. You pour 10 gallons of water, the maximum capacity of the teapot. Now you change the teapot. You cut the bottom out of the teapot. You pour water. Keep pouring water in it. It keeps flowing out. But what happens in the teapot that has now become a pipe? It's getting the water on its walls. It's getting the water first. This is the balance point. This is where I'm receiving the energy in order to share it. This is where I'm thinking about the others before I think about myself, knowing unconsciously that I'm going to receive myself before the other gets it. This is the lesson of the high holidays. This is what we need to know as we go through each of those 22 days. Where are you in those 22 days? Oh, I'm building my vessel in the first 10 days. I'm learning to share in the second 10 days. And I'm finding the balance in the 2 days. These are the high holidays. And if you have this information, and people don't get this information, your rabbis didn't teach it to you. The Kabbalists teach it to you. If you have this information and you live by this information, your year ahead will be better. Will it be perfect? Remember, the past is still here. You have to build upon the past. So I didn't fix it completely last year. I didn't share properly last year. But I'll do better this year. It's never... Somebody becomes Baal Tshuva, returning to Hashem. They were born Jewish. They were raised secular. They never learned. And all of a sudden, they get awakened. I want to be really close to God. And they become Baal Tshuva. And they start laying tefillin three times a day. They wash their hands for every time they eat bread. They do all these actions that are the mitzvot. And what happens? For a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 5 years, they learn. And then all of a sudden, wait a second. I look around me, and I don't see my friends that didn't become Baal Tshuva. They're doing the same thing I'm getting. The physical world is the same for them as it is for me. So why am I doing all this extra effort? And they start to slow down, and they start to stop doing it. They don't totally leave, but they don't do it exactly the way they did at the beginning. Why does a car have a new car smell? And then a week later, it's no longer there. What happened? What changed? It's still a new car. But my thought about it is it's no longer new. It's nor ordinary. It's my car. Every day during the 22 days, we need to wake up with the consciousness that I am getting closer to God. I am doing what Hashem wants me to do in these 22 days. And if we do that in those 22 days, our year will be much better than last year. Because we will have built the vessel and learned to share and found the balance point of the tree of life. And that will last us the whole year. Chag Sameach. Happy holiday.
Chag Sameach.
Are there any questions?
The word to show that means.
It means Tashuv. Hey.
I see.
You do. You speak Yiddish. Teshuva. Taf. Shin. Vav, Bet, Hey. You have paper and pencil? Write it. We'll write it down together.
I want the easy way to tell.
The easy way. Okay. Tashuv means to return. What are you returning? The hay. Hashem's name is Yud He Vav He. The Yud, the He, and the Vav never separate. They're always together. But the lower He, the physical He, can be separated by our negative actions. That lower He is separated when I hurt someone. Teshuvah means to return the hay, to return the physical world to be in the flow of Shefa, the flow of goodness, so it's not separated. That's what Teshuvah truly means. That's what repentance truly means. In English, we say, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Well, I'm sorry because I hurt you. But when we understand that what we did by hurting that person is stop the flow of goodness to me. So what am I sorry for? I'm sorry that I hurt that person. Not because I hurt that person, but because the flow of goodness stopped. It didn't stop 100%. But even 1% is energy I could have. 1% is even what I could love. 1% would mean that somebody comes into my life. Learning to do teshuvah. And the sages tell us, teshuvah was created before creation. Hashem knew we were going to make mistakes. We were going to sin. Why did he create teshuvah? Why did he create the ability to return the hay? Because he knew children in the sand pile, in the kindergarten, make mistakes. Do you punish the child for making a mistake? No. You punish the child to teach them not to do it again.
Teshuva
is repentance, as the English translation. But if I say to you, I want you to repent, what does it mean? It means to say, I'm sorry. But what are you sorry for? That's the point. I'm sorry because that I don't live in the land of Israel. That I was born outside of the land of Israel is a lack, because the energy in Israel is different. It's stronger. In order to live in Israel, you have to have a larger vessel. How do I prove that to you? I can't. Because one, you have to have been there to experience it. And if you have been there and experienced it, you understand that it's a different energy. But some people say, it's too much energy for me. I don't want it. You know, I like America. It's soft. It's gentle. There's bathrooms in every house. In Israel, there's not bathrooms in every house, as we know. There are more and more bathrooms because it's getting healthier financially. But still, do I want to live in Israel when I have all these Arabs trying to kill me? Of course, that's what I hear from the media living in America. The people in Israel, they're not aware that Arabs are trying to kill them. They don't think about it because they're so inundated with this good energy. They don't feel the lack. Which is better, to know the truth that these people are trying to kill me, or just to be in bliss, in serenity? What do you want? I want to be close to God. I want God to be sharing his goodness with me. I don't have to worry about the other people because God is going to take care of me while I live in the sukkah. God is going to take care of me when I live in the land of Israel, unless I make the mistakes. And what are those mistakes? We read about it in the prophecies. Prophet after prophet, historical event after historical event said, why are you depending on Egypt? Why are you depending on Greece? Why are you depending on Rome? Why are you depending on all of these other nations when if you depend on God, he'll take care of you? Oh, because if I think that God's going to take care of me, but I don't see how he's going to take care of me naturally in the normal course of life, I get scared because these other nations seem more numerous, they're larger populations, they seem stronger, they seem more militant, look like they have greater military. I have to have this strong military to defend myself. But if you are connected to God, you don't need the strong military. Because God will send his angels. Oh, but we haven't seen angels for 2,500 years. Does it mean they're not there? Does it mean they're not working? Last night you ate dinner. Who prepared the food? Did you prepare the food? Did you buy the food? Or Hashem provided the food? What's the truth? That's the purpose of the high holidays, to remind every one of us Hashem is taking care of us. Go sit in the sukkah. Feel that sublime energy, that serene energy. It's better when you build the sukkah yourself. Well, we can't build it. There's a structure there, and they're going to rearrange something, and it's going to be a sukkah. But we could decorate it. When we participate, what we receive is better. When we do the mitzvah, what we receive is stronger. And it's easier for us to remember that I didn't cook the food and I didn't buy the food. Hashem provided the food. There's a wonderful story about 300 years ago. The man's name was Susha. He was a sage. He was the brother of one of the Hasidic rabbis.
Be the best Susha you can.
Be the best Susha you can be. Susha never brought his own food. He never cooked his own food. He had students that provided it for him. One day his students got together and said, he doesn't appreciate us. He's always thanking God. He never thanks us. So let's not bring his food today. What happened? They didn't bring his food. He got hungry. But he's studying Torah, so he's not really lacking food. But obviously, at some point, he's going to get hungry. And he got hungry. So he looked up. He said, God, I'm hungry. It's time for you to bring me my food. And for an hour, nothing happened. For 2 hours, nothing happened. 3 hours later, there's a man knocking on the door. He walks in and he says, I don't know why I'm here, but I got a thought that I should come to this place, knock on the door, and share the food that I have with the people there. Do you believe the story? Or do you know the story is true? We live in a world that's very hard. It makes it very hard to believe the story. It makes it even harder to know the story is true. Was it a made-up story? Or did it physically happen?
Could happen.
It did happen. But how come we go and cook our meals? How come we go and buy our dinner? Because we're not on that level. Hashem didn't provide us with the energy that he would send an angel to feed us. But can we reach that level? Yes. How do we reach that level? By sharing with others. The more you share with others. What was Susha doing? He was sitting and studying the scrolls of the Torah, the books of Hasidut, the wisdom of the ages. That's what he was doing. That's the merit. If you're studying Torah, you never have to worry about your food. King David knew he was going to die on a Shabbat. Every Shabbat, all he did was study Torah. Satan could not kill him, could not take his soul. Until what happened? He was walking down the steps, speaking the words of Torah that he had memorized. And Satan tripped him, and he fell down the steps. had stopped saying the words of Torah, Satan was able to take his soul. Do you believe it? Or do you know it was true? It's written down 2,500 years ago. I don't remember being there. I probably was an animal in that generation, very far from God. Do I know it to be true? I've seen miracles in my own life having to do with being Baal Tshuva. I was raised in a secular home, not a religious home, not a spiritual home. I love my parents. I appreciate everything they did for me. Would I like to have other parents? Would I like to have better parents? No. Because God does everything perfectly correct. And when he gave me these parents, when I agreed to choose these parents, they were the best parents that I needed to have in order to achieve what I am here to do. And for me, I know what I'm here to do. I'm teaching. That's what I'm here to do. It's built into my name. But the more you learn, the more you become aware of the miracles of life. In our Aleph Bet class, I taught you, what's the sound of the Aleph? To take in the air, the inhale. That's the sound of the Aleph. Every time you take in air, you are allowing Hashem to share with you. You could stop breathing, can't you? You can hold your breath. But eventually you're going to want to live, and so you open up. But ultimately, every time you take a breath, do you appreciate Hashem sharing with you? But that's what's happening. It's a little deep, a little scary that we're that dependent on Hashem. But ultimately, we were created by Hashem to allow him to share with us, to be the child that eats the apple pie even though he doesn't like it, just because it's his mother who's made it for him. Did his mother make it for him? No, Hashem made it for him. Hashem made his mother to make the pie for him.
Put it in simple words, Hashem's in charge of everything.
Amen. You're absolutely correct. It's simpler words. And that's what we need to constantly remember. And when we do, we don't need to worry about people shooting us in the street. If we get shot in the street, it's because Hashem says that's the best thing to happen to us, because it's time to be cleansed, to move to a different body. Of course, we know, none of us want that to happen. But am I going to go out and change the laws and fight a battle that doesn't really bring God into the picture?
Yeah, in the book, I read it in English.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you do what I say, I'll protect you, I'll do everything, I'll send rain when you need to get
crops. Rain in its
season. You have to do what you prescribed.
And there's only one problem. He doesn't write down every detail. We depend on the oral tradition. We depend on the Talmud to tell us what to do. How do you make tefillin? The Torah doesn't tell us how to make tefillin. The Torah doesn't tell us how to make tzitzit. It says take one blue string, but it doesn't tell us what is the dye that makes the blue string. The oral tradition does. But we have people in this world, what do they say? If it's not written in the Torah, it's not there. But you go try and play the game of baseball or basketball, and you don't have a rule book, what kind of a game are you going to have? It's going to be a great basketball game because everybody's going to be hitting everybody else, knocking them out. That's not basketball, is it? The Torah is our rule book.
In English, I'm reading things. Follow my rules. I'll protect you.
I'll protect it. I'm not teaching you anything.
Rain when you need it.
I don't teach you anything that isn't in the Torah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
It's all there. It's all there in the commentary, which is the English translation. The difference is, in English, you're reading one law, one statement. In Hebrew, it's 70 statements. But we don't understand the 70 statements. Even if we speak Hebrew, we don't understand the 70 statements. We only are able to see one or two or three or four at a time. But we're not supposed to see all 70. If I see three and you see three, then they're different three. We now have six of the 70. That's when the opportunity comes in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what I'm here to do. That's what teaching is all about. It's not I can teach you and do it this way and do it my way. You have to arrive at this yourself. Does anybody have any questions on the conference call?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a beautiful day.
Okay. Appreciate it.